The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
How does it help? Or what problem does it solve? That's what you should ask yourself when your lawmakers get together and they're like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to pass this law. We've got this piece of legislation. You have to ask, how does it help? Or what problem does it solve? How does it make your life better? You got a legislator. It doesn't matter if it's a state level, federal level. It doesn't matter if it's your local town council. What is this doing to make my life better? And what problem does it solve? If you ask that question, you'll realize that quite often, neither. So there must be some other motivation. That motivation usually is it's making their life better because they're either getting money in their pocket or they're getting more money for their coffers to make their job easier, that they can just go ahead and spend a bunch of money and make stuff go away. Hey there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck today, regularly heard on the Morning Blaze. Joining me, Brad Staggs, Chris Cruz, and also Cal. I bring this up because the city of Glendale, Alabama, has passed an ordinance that now requires this summer teens to get a license if they want to mow lawns.
What?
If you want to simply mow lawns, to make a little side cash, you have to get a license from the city.
So you're saying that as a 14, 16-year-old kid, I can be like...
Knock, 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 no.
Hey, can I mow your lawn, Mr. Thompson?
No. Well, you could do that as long as you get a license from the city first.
Officer Brad is going to come to him and say, hey, do you have your license?
Not only would Officer Brad do that, they're already enforcing it. They've already approached kids and demanded to see their papers, demanded to see their license. And you will be fined if not. The license is $110.
Well, there goes a kid's entire profit.
Right? Am I right? I mean, if you're, well, first of all, Cal, our producer from our show, he doesn't understand mowing lawns. It's new to him. He relocated to Texas.
Pay for it.
Yeah, I get you don't want to pay for it. Cal recently relocated to Dallas and didn't know that when you own a home that.
Grass grew.
The grass grows, apparently. And you have to actually pay for it.
No, it's renting. I'm renting. I'm usually, I'm from, you know, up north. You rent. Right. You don't have to deal with landscape.
Well,
now I'm renting a house.
Yes, but you're renting a whole house,
and
you have to.
Responsible for landscaping.
Okay, so Cal, you've been looking at lawn mowing services, and what type of price range are you looking at?
You know, I'd like to spend maybe $10 tops.
No, that's what you want to spend. What do they
nobody's,
charge?
Apparently, nobody's agreeing to that, so... I've seen everywhere from $30 to $60 to mow, you know, and I have a, you know, significant front and backyard.
I was looking recently as well. I take care of my lawn. It's not a problem. But occasionally if I'm traveling or I'm doing different work, I don't get in that week. And you know how your neighbors are if it doesn't. So I'm like, look. And yeah, it's around $30 to $50 if they're regular.
Wait a minute. You have a wife. Why doesn't she do it?
Right.
Because she has a husband.
Oh.
That's how that works in my house. But what is the advantage of having a neighborhood kid do it? That you don't pay
as much.
$30 to $50.
Yeah. Yep.
So what are you going to pay then? You're going to pay him 10, 15, 20 bucks to mow this or whatever. If it's $110 and you're making $20 a lawn, you've got to mow 5.5 lawns before you even break even on the license.
Right.
So I ask again, what good does this do? What problem does it solve?
It solves those rogue kids that are
out there mowing lawns and beautifying the city.
Yeah, you can't have that.
This was sponsored by all the guys who own the lawn mowing services.
And there it is.
Yep.
That's who likely did this. But what problem does it solve there?
Well, it gives them more opportunities for clients, obviously.
Right. It solves their problems.
It gets rid of the competition.
But it doesn't solve
But it doesn't
problem.
Solve the problems of everybody else in the city. How many people own lawn mowing services versus everybody else? I'm guessing it's less than 1%
probably
of official that would be supporting something like this.
But they scream loudest.
Right. And this is not just about lawn mowing. This is everything. You see this with every business
Uber,
out there.
Taxis and Uber.
Right. Trying to protect themselves with this. When you other lawn mowing services, dirtbags in Glendale, Alabama, if you own one and you support this business license and the mayor and the town council, how dare you? How dare you say you want to enforce some piece of legislation to push your competition out of existence?
We're trying to keep the kids safe. You know, those lawnmowers, they throw rocks and stuff, and we can't have that happening to our kids.
Yeah, that's really, that's what they're going to, that's the other angle. They'll say it's about safety or whatever. But how dare you do it? If you can't stand on your service and be competitive with the kid down the street, you're doing it wrong. This is the crony capitalism on a micro scale in Glendale, Alabama. Or, sorry, Gardendale, Alabama. Gardendale, Alabama.
Which is close to Glendale.
It's very. It's like one town away.
Suburb.
One town away.
What's next? Paperboy's got to get a license?
Right?
All of them would, Cal.
Girl Scout cookies?
They already do,
I think. They already do, yeah.
You need a license to sell Girl Scout cookies?
I'm pretty sure that you have to have a license if you're going to be
able to. But it's handled by the troop.
Right. So this helps a couple of people in favor of everybody else.
Yeah.
This is your priority. This is something that you think is important. It's not just about the license. It's not just about the kid that has to pay and work all of those extra hours. Where does the money go then? First of all, as we said, Jeffy would say,
spirit of Jeffy.
It is to push these kids out of business, discourage it in favor of the other people. Where does the money go then? It goes to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you need the money from the kids mowing lawns. And I don't care if it was only one kid mowing lawns or 1,000 kids mowing lawns out there. This is not good. You need the taxes in that town? This is your plan. Your big plan to pay for city services is we'll tax the kids mowing lawns. And let's go after that little bastard paper boy, too. He made $14 last week.
Yeah. Next, they're going to start cracking down on lemonade stands.
We've seen that.
We've seen that.
They did that couple of years ago here in Texas.
You have to get a food safety course in order to make lemonade.
Right.
Across the board, professional license. I can't believe I'm saying that when it comes to a kid mowing lawns. But that's in the vein of professional licensing.
Yes.
States, cities, they have them. States have all kinds of crazy professional license rules.
Hair braiding.
In some states, you have to have a license to braid hair. Some states just have to have it to cut hair. Some states, you have to have a license for interior decorating. Some to groom dogs. Meanwhile, other states, you don't have to.
Locksmithing.
This is completely in the face of anything capitalism, capitalistic, anything that's good. Competition is good. Free market is good. Professional licenses, and I'm not even talking doctors or lawyers where you could say, hey, this is life-altering if they screw this thing up or life-ending. We're talking about things that are not dangerous.
You should be licensed. If you're going to be an interior decorator, you should be licensed because you start breaking the rule of threes. I mean, you're going to have houses with...
Well, isn't something called a feng shui?
Feng shui.
Yeah, you need to
write feng shui. Either way, I think that's I think that's a small poodle from Asia.
In Puerto Rico, it's feng shui.
It's feng shui in Puerto Rico, yeah.
It's used exclusively to keep people out. You have a group of people that say, hey, we went through this process, the experience, whatever it is, built up our business, and now we're trying to protect it by going to our legislators, using our power to try to legislate our competition out of business. Where what you should be doing is saying, with our experience and the business that we've built up and everything else, we do it better and cheaper. Because if you cannot do it better and cheaper, you should fail. If you cannot be competitive on your own in a business without legislation, your business not only would fail, it should fail. It must fail. Our entire country is founded on that premise, that if you are not as good, it should fail in favor of something that is better. And by the way, failure is a lesson. This stuff drives me up the wall.
So I'm doing a couple of research on professional licensing. Mississippi already has a licensing for mowing lawns, but they call it the Mississippi State Board of
Architecture. Let me help you.
And it says the mission is to protect the public's life, health, and property throughout the regulation of professions of
architecture.
Thank you. Landscape and the certification of interior design.
So they have it for interior design as well?
Yes, but in order to be a landscaper, you have to have interior design.
Wouldn't that be exterior design?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, that's where feng shui comes in, because your inside has to be balanced with your outside.
Did you do odd jobs or mow lawns or shovel drives or anything like that?
We had to do it covertly so the cops wouldn't get it.
We had to do it. Did you have any jobs?
I did.
Like that?
When I came to Florida, I think it was 2000. I was doing mowing lawns to the neighbors, so like 10 bucks.
What am I asking? You're Hispanic, of course. You were doing that in Florida.
Okay, that's a little bit racist.
I mowed lawns as a kid too, though. I'm a white guy, and we did that, and we shoveled drives. We went and did this stuff. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. We've got this notion that somehow these are. It's like the Fight for 15 crowd, that the McDonald's worker jobs are supposed to be careers and profession. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are people that do some of these services like mowing lawns as a business, and that's fine. You want to hire people, you don't, whatever. But most of the jobs are not supposed to be careers. You're not supposed to do this. No one is expecting you to go out and make a livable wage where you can raise six kids and put them through college on working at McDonald's for 4 hours a day. It's not supposed to happen. A fundamental breakdown in understanding with this stuff, and it's not good for us. The mayor of Gardendale, Alabama said, I would love to have something on our books that gave a more favorable response to that student out there cutting grass and see if there's maybe a temporary license during the summer months that targets teenagers as opposed to whatever.
That is the temporary license, I think.
It is. I mean, it's...
It's the license.
Right. It probably applies to the other services as well, the business owners or people out there.
What good is it to you? I mean, what purpose would the temporary license serve? Nothing.
No. It just gives you a free pass for the 3 months.
Money for the city.
Money for the city. Yeah.
And I guess it would discourage them a little bit. Would the temporary one be less money?
It should be.
It should be.
Which how embarrassing. Would be more. How embarrassing for this man. Stan Hoagland, H-O-G-E-L-A-N-D, Hoagland. And the town council and the people of Gardendale, Alabama, and you other lawn mowing services out there. One guy said he would, if he saw one of the kids out there mowing again without a license, he was planning to call the cops on him.
You got to be kidding me.
How embarrassing for you. This is your thing?
Hey, I already told you, we have the children's safety in mind.
Is everything else perfect in Gardendale, Alabama?
Probably.
Have you solved all other problems? This was the thing?
This is what you've got. This is what you're left with.
How about the cop out there? One out of 12. See the man.
Yeah.
Honey, today.
Bobby Smith.
I took him down. I took him down, honey.
You did?
I took him down.
A big drug dealer, right?
Bobby was mowing the lawn. Yeah.
Okay, and he had drugs on his lawn.
No, he didn't have a license.
A license?
Yeah, he didn't have a license on him. I took that little son of a gun down. SWAT team came in. There were
sweetie, I'm proud snipers of you. I'm really proud of you.
Right.
That is one rogue kid that you took out.
Took three of us
summer
to take
lawn
him down.
Order, mow lawn.
All right. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines in a minute. 888-727-BECK. It's 888-727-BECK. You can also tweet at us. It's at Doc Thompson Show on Twitter, at Real Chris Cruz, at The Blaze Brad, and at Cal79. Back with more on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck program.
Taking Gardendale, Alabama to task this morning, but they're not alone. All over the country, there's crazy rules and regulations when it comes to professional licensing. And it's done exclusively to either make money for the city, the state, whatever, and or to simply keep people from that profession to protect the people that are already in that profession.
Those lobbyists.
See, let's say you became a groomer of tufted titmouses.
Okay.
Tufted titmouse. That's your professional.
That's a promotion.
When you open up the business, it's tufted titmouses. Okay.
If you're talking plural, it's tufted titmouse.
No, when it comes to tufted titmouse, do you know what a tufted titmouse is?
Of course I do.
Okay, it's not tufted titmice, just so you know. So you open the tufted titmouse grooming service, right? And you didn't have any license.
No,
you didn't
did
have any whatever. You just started doing them and you're doing real well.
Entrepreneur spirit lives in here.
Right. And then Brad says, hey, I think I could do that. That grooming tufted titmice sounds, I'm sorry, mouses sounds really interesting. Maybe I'll get on that. You don't want the competition. You lobby, put the money in the pockets of legislators. You put up the professional tufted titmouse licensing standard that has to be there that says he has to now go to school. You didn't have to go to school.
No.
It discourages him because you have... Mm-hmm. In some of these licenses, years of school for something like interior design.
Mm-hmm.
That what's the problem if you come in and someone screws up your interior decorating? Is it life or death? Anybody going to get hurt?
It is for some people.
Oh, yeah, you break that rule of threes.
Because here's the thing. There is a way you can simply not pay the bill.
You right. could dispute that. It's contractual then. Refuse so Brad's payment? An interior designer, comes to my house. I don't like it. I say, well, I'm not going to pay for that. Or he says, we have a contract. Yes, you are. And you simply go to civil court. That's all.
And you're not going to get a lot more jobs if you know. You
that's
start,
the other thing. Then there's
word of mouth.
Sarah the Gypsy tweeting at Doc Thompson Show. I'm so glad the Revolutionary War was fought so our teens have to have licenses to mow. that's what they were out there for, Sarah. Yeah. People dying on the battlefield. They're crossing the Delaware going, someday kids will have to have a license to mow lawns.
You have to have 3 years training to be a locksmith in New Jersey. 3 years training before.
Training what? Like shadow somebody?
Apparently.
Isn't there pretty much a pass-fail on locksmithery?
Yeah, so, either you open the door or you don't.
Or you don't, right. Yeah. I mean, it's not even subjective.
Yeah.
Interior design, it's I don't like the blue wall. I like the blue wall.
I
whatever.
I like the blue wall.
Yeah.
It's whatever you pick. And by the way, for the record, Glenn did a fabulous job
did
in
he
here.
Have a license? I'm thinking here. Did he have a license?
I don't know if you have to be.
Actually, this was an unlicensed job. And now
so he's a scab?
Know, yeah, pretty much.
He's a scab in his studio here?
Yeah.
But when it comes to locksmithing, did you get in? Okay.
Yeah.
There
the
it is.
The door's open.
And does again. The lock work when you changed them? There it is. Have a good day.
Word's going to get around if you're not good at it.
So, holy moly, you could have to have a license to get a locksmith. Where was that? What state was that?
That is in New Jersey.
In New Jersey. You could be a licensed locksmith that does not do the job. Mm-hmm. I call you up. You can't get me in the house. And it's a fail. And you could have an unlicensed one who can do the job. He's illegal.
Yep.
The one who didn't do the job had the license.
Yeah.
But is perfectly legal.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, you got in the state of Mississippi. You also have tattoo artists have to get a license.
A lot of them do. They can even argue that's a medical thing.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
But also body piercing.
Okay, a medical thing. But these are two separate licenses?
Two separate licenses for the same thing.
Okay.
Well, for a person that does most of the work, because I went to a tattoo artist and he was tattooing my finger, and then he was like, hey, 1 second, I just got to pierce this girl's ears, and then came right back.
Okay.
You have to go through 756 hours of training and pay a $650 license fee in Tennessee to be an auctioneer.
Well,
you got to go through...
Yeah, right. Yeah, just to say that.
I think pretty much if you could just say that, you're in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
that's
standard
all they do, right?
You
right.
can't teach that. That is a natural skill.
Matthew tweeting at Doc Thompson Show, when you live in Gardendale, Alabama, you take your landscaping seriously. They
too
do.
Seriously.
They take it there. Sheldon tweeting, first they came for the lemonade stands, and I said nothing because I don't operate a lemonade stand.
Right.
And then they came for the mowers, and I said nothing because I'm not a mower. And then when they came for the interior designers, there was nobody left to speak for me. Political porn tweeting, what bothers me the most is that mowing, shoveling, etc. develops an early capitalist work ethic in kids. Is that part of it? Maybe not in Gardendale, maybe it is, but in some cases I would think, yeah, they don't want this because they don't want them to learn to be capitalist. They don't want them to be self-sufficient. It's simply rely on the government. Let them help you. You don't have to worry about doing it. Someone else can do it.
And they're not inside playing Xbox or PlayStation. They're out getting fresh air.
You're right. That's another good angle of this thing. If you're discouraging them from mowing, you're saying, hey, go back inside and do something that we keep telling them is bad, that you're inside too much. Sleeve did it, tweeting, Gardendale dad, Junior, mow the lawn. Junior, I can't. I'm unlicensed.
Now you created good excuses for the kids.
Yeah, that's true.
You created, it's only because one of the crew members says, what if I want to pay a kid that is my son to mow the lawn. Are they going to fine me because of that?
I don't know. I don't know how the ordinance is written. Theoretically, some of them could just say if you pay anybody. So I'm actually kind of in favor of that as a parent then.
I was going to say, it's a good way to get rid of a deadbeat kid. Send him out to mow the lawn, have the cops take him away. You don't have to feed him.
I was thinking that, or you just don't pay the kid. You know, I'd love to pay you, son.
Yeah.
I'd love to pay you.
Do you want
it,
daddy to go to jail?
You know what?
Do you want daddy to go to jail right now?
Or you, the kid, to go to, he's the one who doesn't have the license. Yeah. It's not you going to jail. Listen, son, I'm protecting you by not paying you to mow the lawn. Get out there and mow the lawn. There's definitely an angle in there for both me as the dad or when I was a kid, if you have a good enough line of BS. Doc Thompson in the Morning Blaze in for Glenn today. Thanks so much for joining us. Get the tweets in at Doc Thompson Show or 888-727-BECK. Your comments coming up next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I had lots of people commenting on Twitter about the story where Gardendale, Alabama now requires kids to get a lawn mowing license. It just sounds silly. I know it's a smaller story in the grand scale of what's going on. We got a lot more stuff to get to today. But I think this is one small example of the craziness that is. And for a lot of people out there that claim they're capitalists because they have businesses, they're really not if you're requiring licenses or you push or support licenses. This has been a failure over the past couple of decades, really the last 10 years or so, where the occupiers have arguments and primarily wrong with their philosophies. But they do make a couple of good points that people on the right do not explain or address. The first is where they say capitalism is a problem. It's not capitalism is a problem. It's what they believe is capitalism. They believe that corporate America equals capitalism. It does not. There are corporations and businesses in America that act in a capitalistic nature, take part in capitalism, certain parts, and also support the true ideas of a free market. But there are many that do not. When you, as a big company, or even a small company, use your power, money, influence to change the free market to protect your company, that may be good for your company, but it is not free market. And some of the things that happened with the TARP situation and the meltdown of 2008 and the bailing out of banks that was pushed through first by George W. Bush and then supported by Obama later and more of that type of stuff, that was not capitalism. And there were a lot of capitalists out there that said, we must save the free market.
Too big to fail.
It's too big to fail. It'll all go down. Sorry, guys. If it fails, it fails. As painful as that would be, it was the right thing to do because it's free market. Mm-hmm. And as awful as things are at times when the market falls apart, that's what's supposed to happen. Over the last, well, really since probably the stock market crash of 29, they have tried more and more to regulate the markets. And the idea is this. Well, we don't want people to suffer if bad things happen in the market. Okay, I don't want people to suffer.
Right.
But when the market falls apart, when you limit it from falling apart and collapsing, you also limit the potential upsides. You are supposed to save, be smart, and take care of future bad problems during good times. When you have really fatty times, when you've got an abundance, you're supposed to put it away. I mean, didn't we learn that from Joseph? Right? Yeah. In the Bible, you learn it. You got good years on the way. You got to save for the lean times, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's supposed to happen. I mean, it teaches that in the Bible, for Pete's sake. But instead, they want to regulate it and have this constant, steady uptick that cannot happen. All you're doing is muting potential upsides and stringing out the bads. The bads still happen. 2008, as an example. We had the stock market crash of, I think it was 87, the fall of 87. These things happen. All you're doing is screwing with it. So the occupiers, the people on the left out there that talk about capitalism being bad, it's not capitalism. It's the people that claim to be capitalists that are really cronyists. Free markets work. They're volatile at times. They're supposed to be volatile, but we're supposed to understand them. Yes, most people do not, and most people are not responsible. You know how you learn responsibility? Pain. That's how you learn it. I suffered.
Exactly.
As Christians or people of faith, you're also supposed to say, hey, I'll help you out when bad things are going wrong. And I was smart. I'll help you out. You learn in the future and we get through this. Limiting bad things from happening also limits good things from happening from that specific bad thing, because you can make, and many people have, a lot of money during markets that are failing. You make money when the markets are going down. We think very simple and linearly when it comes to markets. Okay, so I invest in this thing, and then it goes up, and then I sell it, and I get the money. That's pretty much what most people think of when they think of stock markets and investing. It's a lot more than that. And we should be teaching financial literacy instead of saying, let's stop kids or try to stop them from starting businesses or forcing them to get professional licenses. A couple more tweets coming in. John tweeting, you need a license to be a locksmith. The president of the United States, no experience necessary. Think about that. Requirements for president. A residency requirement, 35 years of age. There it is, right? Born or bred citizen.
TMB listener Q10 says, gee, we better not let kids wash cars either. They could drown.
Right. Well, the safety is, like you pointed out, is always the thing they go to yeah. help enforce it's, their argument the when you know it's BS. But the thing about other things, it's not just that. You don't even need to be an American citizen to be a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, that's the one that freaks me out.
To be a Supreme Court justice. And I think we've had people who are not citizens as justices. I could be wrong in that, but I'm... But
you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a judge.
You don't have to have previous judicial experience, and you don't have to be a citizen of the United States.
That's crisp.
You could pick a random person in Botswana today and appoint them.
That is the beauty of it. That means Chris Cruz is
have a chance.
You have a chance. That's right.
Court justice.
You don't have to be a citizen. And
I'm wearing the old black today, so.
TMB Saddle Tramp tweeting: Glendale, Alabama murderers. Meh. Drug epidemic, meh. Teenagers mowing lawns without a license, swarm.
You got poll news. We will no longer have to mow grass because President Trump pulled out of the Paris Accord. All grass will be confefe.
Someone else used confefe too. Define confefe, the ability for people to mow lawns without a license. That's from Layden. And Brian tweeting, hashtag what I learned today, Gardendale City Hall now hiring 12-year-old cops for sting operations. Well, yeah, it's got to be like 21 Jump Street, right? You can't just expect to drive by and see them. You have to infiltrate. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to put kids on the street masquerading
Knock. Sir, can we mow your lawn?
Sure, kid.
You're busted. You're going down.
I don't have a license.
Yeah.
On the ground. Let's take some phone calls as well. We've got Zach from Florida checking in. 888-727-BECK. Hey, Zach, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
I agree. I think it's pretty ridiculous that they have to get a license. I mean, every kid looks forward to the summertime, getting the job, making a little extra money. But as far as the lawn care guys having a business, they work their tails off. They don't have time to go to the legislators and be like, we need to get these kids with licenses. They don't have time for it. So I disagree that they are the ones that are, in a sense, lobbying for it.
In this case, you may be right. In some cases, businesses do lobby for it. Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of them think it's probably silly, too. But we've seen this in the past. A lot of these professional licensing are driven by people with other businesses that go to legislators, even if it's on the local level, and they say, hey, push this through to discourage it. Now, in this case, because it is small town, it may just be town council or city that's saying, let's try to make a couple of extra bucks.
The mayor owns a lawn care service.
Yeah, that's both. Yeah. Zach, which do you think it is in this case, being small town? You think it's more likely mayor, city council, something like that?
Well, it's hard to say because I feel like in a small town, the mayor can do multiple things. He could be the police chief. He could be the mayor. He could be, you know, five other things. So there's really no saying. But again, you know, the lawn care guys, they work their tails off. They don't have time. If they're actually doing it, their job 100%, and that's all they do is a lawn care business, they don't have time to do it. There's not enough lawn care guys out there to cut all the lawns and to do it as a business. So
that makes sense. Zach, thanks so much for the call today, and thanks for listening. Really appreciate it out there. You know, a lot of these people, too, that are doing the jobs, they know it's ridiculous. They don't want to have getting the license. They don't want to go through the process, whatever it is, cosmetology, whatever. They know it's silly. You should be able to hang out your shingle. I think you should be able to do that as an attorney or a doctor to the nth degree, a brain surgeon. I don't think you should have to be licensed. Now, I know that, what are you, life and death, doc? As long as there is full disclosure and transparency, and you can be sued if you lie or mislead people, because then I would go and say, okay, I have this brain tumor I need to get removed. I can go to the Chris Cruz who has 50 years of experience in medical school and being a brain surgeon.
Oh, thank you.
This is just hypothetical, by the way. Yeah. Do not call him for brain surgery. I could say, you know, and I can look at his track record, you know, great, served on all these, very knowledgeable. But he's really expensive. Or I can just go to Brad, who's willing to get out the drill.
Yep.
Right?
I got a drill.
He's a lot cheaper, but he loses like 9 out of 10 patients, right?
Are you willing to take that one chance?
Right. I mean, you should be able to take that chance.
Define lose.
Right. And then what you have to do is decide as the customer, the patient, you say, you know what, brain surgery, probably want the person with a lot of experience. But really, it's just... you know, something small. It's a little blemish on my arm or whatever it is. I'm willing to roll the dice and go to Brad. full disclosure, I list, it's like Yelp. I can see what everybody's written about him, that type of thing. They're like, wow, he's got a very gentle touch. Mm-hmm. You know, he's cheap. He's whatever. Hey, I didn't die. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe he's half the price. I'll go to him.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that. As long as there's full disclosure, as long as there's transparency.
You said to a cosmetologist in Tennessee, it requires 300 hours of training before someone can be compensated for washing hair in a salon. So you need a license to wash someone's hair.
Before they can be competent?
Compensated.
Compensated. For washing
hair. I can actually understand, because if you ever sat down and they turn on the water, it's too hot.
Oh, that could really be painful for 5 seconds while you jumped
towel
up there.
Put the hot towel. Hot. Right. Yeah.
Pretty much all of us have experience in washing hair, don't we?
No.
How old are you? Well, you have that lifetime experience.
Right.
26? You have 26 years of washing hair.
Yeah.
Good deal, right?
Lather, rinse. What's the third step? Lather, lather, rinse. I always miss that one.
I studied so long, too.
Taking the test 3 times.
Lather, rinse. I always give it the third. By the way, isn't that just a loop? Shouldn't there be an out on that?
There should be a stop.
Still lather, rinsing, and repeating. Uh-huh. Still lather, rinsing, and repeating. How many is there? Is there a stop after 4? No? Quick break in there. And then I have a story to tell. There was an incident, apparently, with Chris Cruz recently, yesterday?
Yesterday. After the show.
Yesterday, after the show, there was an incident along these lines. Silly rules and regulations that he'll share with you next on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. Normally on Fridays, as you probably know, Glenn has Bill O'Reilly on the program. Bill will not be joining us because Bill is smart enough not to call in and talk to me. He knows that's going to be a problem because we're not real bright here.
Right.
But he will be back when Glenn is back. So Glenn is off next week as well. The following week, Bill O'Reilly will return on Friday, as he is on every week. We do have some breaking news this morning out of Florida.
Yeah, we've got breaking news out of Orlando, Florida. We've got a suspicious suitcase at the Pulse nightclub. Bomb squad on scene, police on scene. They had the whole Orange Avenue blocked off.
The Pulse nightclub is where the massive shooting took place.
A year ago.
Not today, about
10 days from
it's
today.
Close
I
to
think.
It, though.
It's close to it, yeah.
All right, we don't know if there's anything to it yet, but we'll keep you up to date. We're talking about professional licensing and some of the craziness that goes along with it.
And in Massachusetts, if you are going to be a fortune teller, you are required to get a license to...
I feel like yeah, because you don't want somebody giving you wrong information.
No, exactly.
And you not want actually a having real the skills one. To tell I, the
yes,
fortune.
Yes. I want the fortune teller who's taken the test to be, wait a minute, what test would they take to
well, that,
prove?
I'm thinking of a number.
Mm-hmm. 449.
They know already all the answers to the test?
So, right, they should.
Yesterday afternoon, Chris Cruz, after the program, decided to go buy his son here in Texas a fish at a local store, a pet store.
Yes.
So you go to the pet store and pick out the fish, the tank.
Yes, I pick out the fish in the tank, and the lady's like, okay, so what fish do you want? I was on the little one, $2 fish, and she said, okay, cool, we'll get it. And she was like, do you have your tank set up? I'm like, no, I'm going to set it up at the house. She's like, oh, we can't do that. I'm like, why? You have to bring a water sample and wait 5 days to get your fish.
So is it the law where you have to, or is it just that store's law? Oh, store policy.
Store policy.
It's not the law. Store policy is you have to bring them a water sample
where the fish is going to live and wait 5 days. So I bought the tank yesterday, so I went to next week to get a fish. And I was like, why? Oh, we don't want to the fish to die from shock to the system.
You know,
right.
You can just head across the street to the restaurant and order fish.
Right.
You can go fishing and catch your own fish to eat or to put it in the tank yourself.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
I'm wigging out.
You know what I'm going to do? This afternoon, I'm going to go in there.
Okay.
And I'm going to go through the whole thing like I'm buying the fish. And when she says, do you have your tank set up? I said, I'm going to eat it in the car.
As a matter of fact, give me 3 because they're not that filling.
And by the way, it's a 1-inch fish. Costs $2. Mm-hmm. What's the harm?
You're right. Give me 4.
And also, by the way, next to it was the fishes that you feed other fishes that eat fish.
Right.
So I'm like, wait a minute. So I could buy those fishes and take them home right now and feed them to,
Wait, do they also at that store sell crickets and stuff to feed and then stuff you can feed other animals?
Yes.
So they're speciesists.
Yes, yeah. They are.
They're putting fish at a higher level than the crickets that they're selling to.
I really wanted to ask this one question. I want to ask, so what is your thoughts on abortion? Because that is...
Yeah, so how are you feeling about that? You're protecting the fish here. Just curious, right.
Just curious.
It's a political discussion.
What's your thought about abortion?
So it's not a law, but it's their policy. I could go across the street to the carnival and throw the little ball in the water and get the fish in the bag.
No, you have to wait 5 days.
To test the water.
Cheaper than sushi.
Wow.
You need a sample of your grass if you're going to buy a dog.
That's right. We want to make sure he has the nice proper place to squat and everything's going to be safe. And we test the air quality for the kitties you buy too. Crazy. Wow. Real interesting guest with a new business concept coming up next. We'll get to some of your calls and tweets as well on the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. Thanks so much for joining me. Joined also by my fellow Morning Blaze compatriots, Brad Staggs and Chris Cruz, along with Cal. We're regularly heard on the Blaze Radio Network. Weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Just go to theblaze.com/doc to find out more about us. During our regular morning broadcast, we talk a lot about businesses and entrepreneurship. I think that's really the backbone of America, capitalism. Absolutely. And free market. And the more we can teach people that and help support businesses, the better it's going to be for all of us. So we often give people free airtime. We have a Building America segment once a week where we just say, come and promote your business. The listeners get to hear great stories about entrepreneurs, successes, and failures. Hopefully some inspiration, and you hear about great products. So if you have a business that you want us to discuss and interview you, just tweet at us anytime with the hashtag Building America. Hashtag Building America. And we go through them from time to time, and we'll reach out to you and say, hey, we have an opening. We're usually backlogged a few weeks or so. Obviously, a lot of people are interested. But
free advertising? Backlog?
Huh. Yeah, imagine that. Yeah. But use that hashtag Building America. And then if you're interested in some of the people we've had on in the past, you can just go back through and search.
And it's interesting you say we will go through them. That we is one person.
Yeah, that's right. By we, I mean Chris. We'll go through them and check it out.
Exactly.
And make sure you're on board. So, yeah, we spotlight those. Sometimes their businesses have been around for a while. Sometimes startup businesses. We have one of those startup businesses that I believe is crowdsourcing, trying to get started. It's an interesting concept. Rich Pronsky joins us now from Planned Companionhood. Rich, how are you doing, buddy?
Hi, how are you, Doc?
Doing well, sir. Give me the basic concept of what your business is.
Sure. First, thank you for having me on. This is a great platform for me. I'm very excited. I had this idea. It came to me the other night, and I did what pretty much all of my friends on Facebook have done. I started a GoFundMe to kind of raise money for this concept. It's Planned Companionhood, and what I want to establish is a series of clinics across the United States that provide health services for pets.
Okay,
that's pretty smart.
Yeah, I mean,
good idea.
Thank you.
How does that differ from any of the veterinarian clinics or other health services that are out there? I mean, there's some chains and...
No, it does. I mean, yes, you're right. It does differ. I don't have a degree in veterinarianism. I am trying to get one from a prestigious online university. It's taking some time. I will have it. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we're going to offer services very similar. We spay and neuter, of course.
Okay.
Spay and neuter cats and dogs, mostly. And something I thought was very clever, we're going to offer mammograms.
Mm-hmm. Mammograms.
Mammograms. So they're like a pet mammogram. So, I don't have the degree in veterinarianism, but so you take the cat booby or whatever the medical term is, and the right. doggy thing, and you have the glass plates, and you take a picture and see if there are any troubles. Also, we're going to offer pet pregnancy counseling to cats and dogs, just you know, to kind of guide what to expect when you're expecting, kind of thing, kind
to
of
the
guide
owners.
Them.
To the owners Sorry? Of the pets, right? I mean, you're offering the counseling to the owners of the pets.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. We might, you know, that's not a bad idea. We'd include the owners. We bring the owners in. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, they could be a part of that. I could see that. Okay. So you're doing a lot of reproductive health as part of this clinic. Is that right?
Absolutely. We're going to offer contraceptives. We've got, you know, kitty condoms, the pet prophylactics, doggy diaphragms, and the IUD, which I understand is for intrauterine Dachshund. And because that's, I tried it out on him, and he seemed, you know, to not take to it. But we'll see. Maybe it works in other dogs. I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
Huh. And we're going to offer, of course, pregnancy termination.
You get a spayed and neuter before, but you're also going to terminate pregnancies as well for pets?
Well, you know, you kind of have to because, you know, even though you make these efforts, you try to control pet overpopulation, whatever, and get the message out there. But, you know, you're still going to have cats and dogs who get pregnant. They, you know, they have one too many at the kitty bar, whatever, and you know, they wind up with this litter of babies that they might not want. And I believe, as you know, I assume everybody does, that pets have the right to choose. It's their furry bodies. It's their choice.
So kitty and doggy abortions is what you're saying.
Yes. Well, I don't like to use that word.
Okay.
So I call it termination.
Mm-hmm. So if they, wow, that's kind of new. I hadn't heard that. We always hear, you know, spay and neuter your pets or something.
Right.
Control pet overpopulation, have them spayed and neuter.
I guess that makes sense because, yeah,
that's
some of them
where I'm different.
Yeah.
That's where my clinics, that's where Planned Companionhood, I think, is different.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Is pet overpopulation still that big of an issue where we would have to get to the point where terminating right. the kitties and puppies? Is it that
you know,
big?
You got a lot of, you have orphan pets all over the place, and you know, mm-hmm. the adoption process for pets can take sometimes minutes to hours to get, you know, these pets, and you know, and that might be a hassle.
Okay.
Hey, Rich, Chris Cruz, I just have a question for
hi.
You. You
sure.
said you posted this on Facebook. Have you gotten any backlash from, you know, the people that are against puppies abortion or any kind of abortion?
I don't. What does the red face mean?
What is the emoji, the red face? Right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good one for you.
I haven't looked into it, but we've got a lot of those. But you know, I can feel the energy. You know, shortly after I posted it, I've been getting a lot of energy, but I've really been devoting my morning, especially, to just kind of, you know, coming up with my ideas.
Kind of formulating them.
What about counseling? I mean, are you going to, with this counseling, are there going to be alternatives discussed? I mean, is
pregnancy
abortion?
It's more like counseling, like scheduling the pregnancy termination. Like, what day works better for you? Would a Friday be better? Do you want to come in on a weekend? Monday after work? Like, what, you know, we're going to work about, you know, it's about accommodating the people, the kitties or the doggies.
I would think somebody would be willing to, like, take the, you know, the mm-hmm. puppies, the kids were born, that someone would be able to take them and you know, adopt them.
Yeah, maybe they would. I don't know. It just seems to me, you know, you want to give the pet the right to just say, you know, I want this or I don't want this. Get it out of here. You know, because mm-hmm. honestly, and I don't have a degree in veterinarianism, and I will soon from a prestigious and accredited online university.
Right.
But from what I know, it's just a clump of cells in there. Until they're born.
So you're saying because these animals are pregnant, we got to control over population, that it's better to go ahead and just abort them, the doggies and kitties, rather than just have people come by and adopt them.
Yeah, because, you know, when a kitty cat or a doggie gets knocked up and, you know, for whatever reason, and they forgot to practice or whatever, and mm-hmm. things happen, and then they get pregnant, you don't want to burden that kitty cat or doggie with you know, puppies and kitties meowing and things.
Okay, I imagine there's going to be some people, and we're talking with Rich Pronsky from Planned Companionhood, or what he hopes will become mm-hmm. a series
right.
of clinics known
yes.
as Planned
And I'll just tell you right now, we have raised $34.17.
What's your goal?
Yeah.
We need at least $250 million, I think.
Okay, and that covers
establish over the country, plus give myself a decent salary.
Okay, so that covers all the clinics, or just one clinic with multiple doctors? I mean, not doctor, veterinarians with veterinarianism certifications, or is it just you performing all these procedures?
No. They'll be all scattered all over the country. And you know, people are going to come in, they're going to come in on a leash. They're going to come in however they want to come in, and we're going to help them.
So I got to think there's going to be some people that don't like the idea of dog abortions or cat abortions that,
I did run into a few of those on the sidewalk. Yes.
All right. Yeah. What is your response to them where they're saying, hey, that's a life and, You're killing the little doggies and puppies. What do you say to those people?
They made an argument. Yes, this is an adorable puppy. Why would you do that to an adorable puppy? Like this, look at this puppy right here. How cute is she? And I was rubbing her. And I understand what they're saying. But then again, you know, if you have a cat or a dog that has a bunch of puppies or kitties inside, you know, why not encourage them to kill them?
While you're thinking, let's talk about cost. I mean, you're going to obviously charge people. The owners, I'm assuming, are going to have to end up paying for these terminations. Do you have a price structure?
Probably the taxpayer would. You know, I'm going to see what I can do about that.
Okay.
We have gotten some grants from the USDA, which I assume is the United States Dog Association.
I don't really
know.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know that Bob Hope, right?
Bob Barker
was the celebrity for the controlled pet population. Yeah. Have you tried to reach out to any celebrities? Because this is something that they might want to get involved with.
Yeah, now Drew Carey says it because he took over for Barker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, but if you could recommend somebody, that'd be great.
Well,
you need that celebrity panache to help kind of sell your thing. You know, like when Sean Penn helped sell Venezuela and Hugo Chavez, like, you know, you want something like that. Someone who comes in and delivers that message and says, take this. It's great.
Okay.
So the animals come in and they're already pregnant and you're saying we're going to go ahead and abort the kitties and puppies.
Because you want to keep them from having a back alley pet abortion, don't you?
I'm sorry. What was that?
If you don't, they're going to run out and have a back alley pet abortion.
Well, not only that, they're going to go to Mexico and get an abortion, which is more dangerous.
And then they're kind of saddled with the whole slut term.
Well, yeah, exactly.
What's the problem? I didn't realize that back alley pet abortions are a thing. But what would be the problem with that? Why is that a concern of yours?
I haven't been in a back alley in a long time, you know, so long story, and it ended poorly. But, you know, I assume that these things are going on in back alleys all the time if we don't establish these clinics.
Okay, so you establish a fee, but is that per kitty or doggy aborted, or is that per service?
Terminated.
Because, you know, sometimes it could be 3 or 5 or 6. And you don't know. So the dog comes in and you go, it's going to be a certain fee, but then it ends up being 6 puppies.
Right.
Is that per? We call that jackpot.
Oh, for
that's
you.
When you go like, yes, you know, and you do that gesture with your hand and you kind of go, yes. And that means you're going to make extra money. So if you're expecting 3 and suddenly you got 6, it's like bonus time.
Wow.
So there is some profit to be had from this on the backside. I mean, okay, that makes sense from a profit standpoint. Yeah.
Okay, we've heard this forever, you know, control pet population. How come you still have so many pets getting pregnant like this if for years, you know, have them spayed and neutered and we still have a pet overpopulation problem? How come we still have it then? I mean,
it's a very, very good question. Basically, you know, pets in the U.S. are not getting quality sex education. And if you think about it, you know, most cats are locked up in a house like a Saudi wife. And dogs, you know, they're literally kept on a very short leash. And, you know, when you see people walking their dogs, you don't see them, you know, giving them an education in sex, talking about the birds and bees. You just see them letting them pee all over the place.
And that would be a good opportunity right there, I would think, to
talk to them. So you get down, instead of getting down and picking up the poo-poo, that your dog, you get down there and you say, you know, if the dog's name is Rover, you go, Rover, let's get a little awkward now and talk about things.
I mean, I'm not a fan of abortion. We're talking with Rich Pronsky from Planned Companionhood. I'm not a fan of abortion, but I appreciate you having a unique idea. I can imagine getting greater backlash online from this.
Yeah, it does seem to be growing.
Yeah, I actually, when you take, you can take that awkward moment when the dog is maybe humping your leg.
Say, hey, this is a teachable moment.
Right,
teachable
moment.
Rich, you know, this is one of, are you going to leave with puppy termination, or are you just going to be like, hey, you know, we provide all these other stuff?
The mammal grant.
Or are you just going to just lead with the pet terminations?
Well, I think like any business, you're going to go where the profit center is, right?
Okay.
Now, once again, I don't have a degree in business, but I am working on one from a prestigious online university.
Right.
But, you know, I know that when I run my business, and we're, I'll just tell you right now, we're up to $34.82.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I do run my business, I'm going to go where the profit is.
Okay. Well, Rich, interesting concept. We wish you the best in your business and appreciate
Thank you for joining us today.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. Rich Pronsky from Planned Companionhood. It's Doc Thompson on the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
I think some people had some trouble with the idea, the concept of pet abortions, doggies and kitties. Some people mentioned it on Twitter. They're pretty upset about it.
You got Susan saying, are you kidding me with that guy doing abortions on dog and cats? Not funny. Eljo is saying, is Rich going to sell the dead puppy parts for profit? All serious questions.
All right. Get them in. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, and at Cal 79, also at The Blaze Brad. And please follow us as well. We're part of the Morning Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network, weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Last week, there were back-to-back tweets from the actress Allison Janney. Allison Janney is on the show Mother, Mom, something now. She was on West Wing, Mom. The back-to-back tweets. The first one said, now is more important than ever to hashtag stand with PP, stand with Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
Thank you, Josh Whedon, for joining the fight. And it was all pro-abortion.
The slay fight.
Right, exactly. But the hashtag she used was stand with PP.
Okay.
The very next tweet said, save the date. At Best Friends Super Adoption is coming to Los Angeles and New York in June. Hashtag save them all. The adoption is pet adoption.
So,
here's a woman who tweeted, stand with Planned Parenthood to abort human babies, but when it comes to pets, gotta save them all.
Right.
You can't.
What would they do if we were serious about pet abortions? If you're somebody who stands with Planned Parenthood and offended by pet abortions, you're an ass.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I decided to have our buddy Rich Pronsky on, a.k.a. Brian Sack. How are you, buddy?
Oh, you outed me. I've been outed.
Surprise.
You've been outed. I decided
people on Twitter calling me Mike Opelka, and I'm very upset.
Well, that's the reason I decided out you. You don't need that. Brian Sack, formerly of the BS of A on the Blaze TV, but one of my good friends, and, well, I consider him a friend. I think he thinks of me as like an acquaintance or something like
that. You're like my light drinking buddy.
By the a very good night. Brian, nice job with that, by the way. And a lot of people have asked, you know, what have you been up to? What are you doing? So I figured I'd give you a minute to talk about you. What have you been up to? What are you doing?
Well, I'm working on a kid's book.
About
weird
pet abortions?
How to introduce pet abortions to your little kid?
Concepts early.
when you get the book, make sure to let us know and we'll put you on to discuss it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks really again, good. Brian. Appreciate you joining us today.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was Opelka.
A lot of people thought it was
Opelka. But what a great point, though, and hopefully you got the satire in it. If we were serious, and if he was more serious about it and really pushed pet abortions, how do you say we are going to spade and neuter pets but not support pet abortion if you support human abortion?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that logical?
Yeah.
But people are so hopped up about saving the puppies and kitties and have been brainwashed into believing that in utero babies are somehow not babies, not living, and they don't have this even the same consideration as little puppies and doggies. We have failed as a country. We have absolutely failed when it comes to that.
I like this tweet right here. George 1791. The Morning Blaze crew can keep a straight face when dealing with satire. Who knew?
So
love you guys.
That was so hard.
At the other end of the spectrum, Tiny Pike said, as a comedy bit, planned companionship, massive failure. That's good because it was planned companionhood.
Okay, good.
Oh, okay, so,
companionship
okay.
was a failure.
Yeah. Good thing we use hood.
Yeah. Every year, a private high school in the Bronx holds a fashion show with clothes made from non-traditional materials.
Right.
And a couple of girls this year, two high schoolers, showed up in support of Planned Parenthood by making dresses out of condoms and Planned Parenthood stickers. They said they wanted their dresses to have both meanings and strong support of Planned Parenthood. The one girl said, we need to have safer methods of family planning. They're trying to shut down Planned Parenthood to make sure abortion is illegal, and that really frightens and saddens me. She said, it's been there for people in high school, college, adulthood, for people who can't afford to have a child, or for any other circumstances. It's necessary.
Audience was 5th to 12th graders.
How many of those people that said right on to her would support doggy and kitty abortions? If you do, you're a hypocrite, you're misinformed, and you may just be an ass. Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson and the Morning Blaze crew in for Glenn Beck today. Thanks for joining us. Lots of tweets coming in. Slipshift saying on Twitter, that was brilliant satire and brilliant point. Sensational, hysterical. Mike Opalka tweeting, Brian Sack is 100 times funnier than I think I am. Great stuff. Thanks so much. Abstinence all the way, Kofefe 007 says. He's going to teach his pet abstinence is the way to go. Joining us now is Kaya Jones, formerly of the Pussycat Dolls. How are you, Kaya?
I'm good. My alarm didn't go off, so it's like,
So you missed our last guest. You missed the, did you hear? You didn't hear the last guest, did you?
I did not, because my alarm didn't go off.
It was a guy advocating puppy and kitty abortions because, you know.
No.
I mean, if you're going to support Planned Parenthood, you might as well support them for puppies and kitties too, right?
Oh, good, not. No.
Before you react, you should probably go back and listen to it.
Yeah, you're going to want to.
I need to go back and listen to it. Yeah.
Little satire.
Don't throw me under the bus here with any of this. Okay.
Now, we've become, I've become kind of like friends with Kaya. Chris Cruz has become kind of a stalker with Kaya.
No. You have not become no friend of Kaya.
We're like friends,
I've
and you're like stalker.
Friends of Kaya.
How Chris many times? Has become a little bit of a stalker, but he's eased up.
But she's okay with that, apparently.
Now we're getting into a friend zone because he eased up. But the first minute was like a little weird.
Chris is just generally weird, though. We've come to accept
that. No, he's not, though. He actually has a good heart, but he can kind of be a little wacky. We know that about
Chris. The Puerto Rican side of him.
We wanted to have Kaya on. First of all, Kaya has been outed in Hollywood as somebody who isn't progressive.
That kind of outed.
In Hollywood, that's kind of, in music industry, that's kind of being outed, right?
It really is, actually. It's worse than coming out.
I mean, in Hollywood, you come out, people, they don't even bat an eye, right?
No.
Or it's celebrated.
They say, oh my gosh, we had no idea. You know, there's a whole lot of love. This was not that.
There's no love.
Kind of the opposite of love.
It was kind of the opposite of that. That's where Chris, you know, that's where the bond came in, is that Chris gave me a lot of love.
So explain what this is. Why is Hollywood and the music industry so crazy progressive? I get in the world, we all have a lot of different views and opinions. How is it that entertainment is either attracting progressives or makes people progressive? What is going on, Kaya?
Well, I think, you know, the thing is that it's gone a little too far. Like, Hollywood really needs to take a giant step back, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost their mind. Like, you know, what's going on now with what Kathy Griffin did? I don't care whether it's our president. It could be anybody. She shouldn't be doing it.
It wasn't good. It's not appropriate. I mean, I don't get offended by it. I just say move on. I didn't like it, you know, but...
Oh, really? You didn't get offended?
No, I
was totally offended.
It takes a lot to really offend me. I just usually just move on. I mean, I'm used to working with such jerks, that if I got offended easily.
Desensitized?
Right, I've been desensitized, Kaya. But would you be, Kaya, being somebody who supports President Trump and did support him, would you be just as bothered if they had done that to Hillary Clinton or somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, but the fact that it was our sitting president is just a big flipping no-no, like huge no-no. But I mean, it could have been anybody. You don't do that. That's not what, first of all, that's not what we want to see. That's not what children should see, what his son had to wake up to seeing and then thought it was real. I mean, the reports that were coming out, it was just horrible. I mean, she could have gone a way different narrative. And I think what she chose to do was so edgy because, you know, it is about ratings. It is about, you know, turning everyone's head to go crazy, going, oh my gosh, because you're going to be on the front cover of every paper. But at the same time, what you're doing is wrong. You're basically glorifying an organization that's out of control.
I mean, we know Kathy Griffin is sensational.
I know her, too. She's friends with Bill Maher, so I know her. Yeah, I've met her multiple times at his events. And I mean, you know, it just, I'm disgusted. I immediately unfollowed her and was just like, I started to, you know, write to her. I was pissed.
Well, then Jim Carrey came out and basically defended her, saying that that's a comedian's job is to cross the line. And constantly push that line.
Well, I thought it was their job to be funny.
Well, not only that,
he said, you don't know what a line is until you've crossed it, and that was a big line to cross.
Not only that, he said that comedians are the last line of defense.
Well, they're going to save the world. I know that.
When the soldiers come marching in, we want the comedians out there.
Yeah.
Kaya, this morning, actually coming up at noon Pacific time, Kathy Griffin has a press conference scheduled. Her attorney is joining her, and they sent out a press release, which is one of the funniest ones I've ever seen because they included photos.
Of them two?
Right, of headshots of her and her attorney, which is bizarre.
No.
And it says, it's very short, but it says noon today, Eastern time, excuse me, 9 a.m. local time, noon today. They're having a press conference. Comedian Kathy Griffin and her attorney, Lisa Bloom, told a press conference earlier the week.
Miss Griffin, she's about to lose all her money. Her career is going to die.
Right. That's what I thought. But listen to one of the things she says she's going to talk about. It says they'll explain the true motivation behind the image that she's, the picture, and respond to the bullying from the Trump family that Kathy has endured.
Oh, yep. Well, I will not be watching. She had her time to give her peace, and that's it.
But she's playing the victim now, though, Kaya. She's taking this not
right,
as in I'm sorry, she's a victim.
The behavior is sociopathic. It's not normal. It's like, how far can I push the boundaries? But let me explain why I have. We don't really want to hear it now. It's too late. Bye.
But I mean, she's not a victim now.
No.
No, he's a victim of constant mainstream media attacking him, and he's just trying to put a lot of love into the country, and no one's even paying attention to that. Or the serious things that are going on around the world, we're not even reporting it now.
But he's bullying Kathy Griffin.
Right. I mean, she said the
because
family.
That's the most important thing. Not human trafficking, not the war.
Right, right.
All right. We've already covered that. The comedians are the most important thing.
Well, okay.
They are. They're going to save the planet.
Mm-hmm. Kaya, so she's saying that Melania and the kids and others in the family who had, they tweeted about her or made comments about her, that's bullying.
Yeah.
Which, this is like me coming up to you and punching you in the face.
I went out, tweeted to her, and you could call that bullying, but I'm not okay for bullying. And what she did was a massive, mean thing. And if you're going to pick on someone in the schoolyard, better be prepared that a lot of people might turn around and want to attack you, that you're wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You know better. How old is that woman?
She's 65.
107.
55? No, she was 50-something or whatever.
50-something, yeah.
No, but Kaya, this is like me coming up to you, punching you in the face. You turn around and punching me, and I go, I'm a victim of Kaya's abuse. Right?
Right.
I mean, she started this stuff.
For his family to stand up for him, for his fans and supporters to stand up for him, for Americans to stand up for him, because he's our sitting president. If a celebrity did that to Obama, are you kidding? That person would be everywhere all the time, and it would be publicized that they're, you know, all this horrible stuff. It's like, but why is it because it's Trump, it's okay?
Yeah, there's clearly a double standard, huge double standard when it comes to this. People, I mean, a lot of people did stupid stuff like pictures of Obama with nooses and all kinds of stuff like that, and that was wrong.
But
of course,
that wasn't a celebrity.
Right,
that wasn't a celebrity. That was a weird town or someone being racist, doing something wrong. Like, this is a well-known public figure who decided to do something that was horrific and gross. No one wants to see that. We want to see glamorous stuff. Hollywood needs to take a giant step back.
When I saw the picture, my first thing was, okay, so you don't like him. We get it.
Yeah.
You're saying you don't like him. I think that's clear now. Got it. Okay.
Because you didn't get it before, right?
Right. Even Deborah Messing and Keith Olbermann were like, whoa, you guys crossed the line. When Keith Olbermann says you crossed the line, you cross the line.
You cross the line, yes. Right.
So what's your future with this stuff? Okay, so you're becoming more politically active. You comment on things on your social media. What's your future hold?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a lot of different stuff, but I know that, you know, I care about philanthropy and I care about being an activist and speaking out. And by coming out as a, you know, an open Christian that's going to talk about my faith and talk about being a Republican and all of that stuff, the new album is leaning into a very different light. So I think people will be very surprised.
So
good surprise. Though.
Where is your foundation in faith, your foundation in being more libertarian conservative? Where does that come from for you?
I think you just, you know, you find your footing or what's right for you. And for me, it wasn't necessarily something that was, you know, drummed into me in the home. It was something I chose to seek and, you know, felt very kind of sheltered in the industry I was in of sharing my views because no one really wants to hear about Jesus and no one really wants to hear about being a conservative. You know, they're kind of like, ew, you guys are, you know, don't be that. You need to conform. And I had an open mind about everything, but I really wasn't speaking to an audience because I wasn't connecting and being who I was. For the first time in my entire career, I'm actually explaining who I am because everything about celebrities kind of removed. You actually don't know a lot about them. And I think it's amazing what's happening in America right now. To me, it feels like America is making choices. They don't want to be told what to watch, who to support anymore, which is case in point why we have Trump to begin with. You know, so I think it's a good time for America and everyone's excited about sharing their religious beliefs and, they're okay with talking about God again because it was kind of something that people weren't encouraged to do with their last administration. So
I can just see you and they're like, hey, Kaya, we're going to this Coke party. Want to come? And you're like, let me tell you about Jesus.
That's kind of how it goes. That's not for me, you know? I mean, look at what's going on in our country with opioids. I mean, I posted something last night, but 50% of all of the foster children, these orphans, from either a parent or parents, 50% in Ohio are from opioid or prescription.
It's incredible. Pills. It's amazing.
It's and you know, and but we're more concerned about Trump.
Right.
And Kathy Griffin using a cantaloupe or whatever it was. You know, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the real issues that are going on. It's a waste of energy.
And a lot of those people that are suffering like that are also veterans. And I know veterans has been, you know, something that you're very concerned with, making sure we fix the VA and helping veterans, right?
Yeah, we have to. I mean, they're, you know, our first line of defense and our last line of defense. I would not say it's the comedians, even though I love all of you guys, no doubt. We got to laugh. But it does come down to our veterans, you know, and our military that take, you know, they take a lot of the brunt of whatever we choose to do and say as a country with the world. So they're a very big cause for me to always support.
Hey, Kaya, one quick question is, are you getting any backlash from your fellow artists, Hollywood types?
Oh, of course. Of course. But I don't care. We won.
Good for you. So honestly, good for you.
Who cares? We won.
Well, Kaya,
we won. I'm going to spend the next 8 years hearing about because he will be there for another 4 years.
she's doubling down. Doubling down. Kaya, well, we're fans and we wish you best. We'll help you out any way we can. And
I love you guys. And I was just joking with Chris earlier. I hope he understands.
Well,
that.
No, I was just getting ready to point out he's
joke on me. So
he's scribbling on this notepad. Is Kaya Cruz? I don't know.
Well, I'm getting her ready for our visit in July.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be visiting you guys. That's
oh, good deal. Fun. That'll be come to Dallas and hang out with us. All right, Kaya. Thanks so much.
I love Dallas.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
And what's her Twitter handle?
Kaya Jones.
It's just at Kaya Jones, K-A-Y-A Jones. Yep. All right, very good.
Breaking news. If you have tickets to Kathy Griffin's performance at the Route 66 Casino Hotel in Albuquerque on July 22nd, it has been canceled. And you can get a full refund.
By the way, Kaya Jones may be available to perform in her stead. Doc Thompson and the Morning Blaze crew for Glenn Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. 888-727-BACK. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
A history professor at the University of Michigan by the name of Juan Cole, he's the director of the Center for Middle Eastern and North African Studies, said that Secretary of State Mattis could learn a few things from Ariana Grande.
Whoa.
Well, yeah.
Okay. How to sing? How to dance? How
no,
to boogie?
No, how to be like Secretary of Defense.
Why is that surprising?
Because, you know, Ariana Grande, what with her great
history and experience of defensing
yes. with that.
Right?
No, this is the idea that Mattis is the hawk, so to speak. That Ariana Grande, who came out and said, we just need, and I'm paraphrasing, but after that attack in Manchester, we just need love. We just need to love and
it's
talk to
true,
people.
But sometimes, guess what? You need some tough love.
The Beatles said it so many years ago.
All we need is love
yeah.
and occasionally a nuke.
Yeah.
That's the part they didn't put on there.
A good 45 on your side.
Of course, love is always there. We try to help people. That's standard. But there are some people who will not understand anything other than force. That's who dictators are. Otherwise, they would go, oh, look, I'm treating people poorly. Maybe I shouldn't do that. They don't do that. They're dictators. They're jerks. And they're only going to learn if you physically remove them. We know this. But somehow, this Middle Eastern professor, Center for Middle Eastern North African Studies, and Ariana Grande, I get her. She's young, starry-eyed, you know, believes, you know, in all of the hugs and kisses and dotting your little heart, eyes with a heart and whatever. That's all you need in the world. That's a good portion of it. But you also understand sometimes those things don't work. Of course, people in the Middle East, terrorists, people who've been radicalized, have either a screw loose and or low education and no economic future. They don't have any future. Of course, that adds to the radicalization. But what are you going to do? Just hug them? You're going to be a terrorist. Come here. You've been radicalized. Come here. Can you take your jacket off first? Can you remove the vest first before I put the sensor down? Put that, the plunger, put it down. I'll give you a big hug.
Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck. You want to find out more about me in the Morning Blaze? Go to theblaze.com/doc. So apparently some people didn't get the satire, but maybe some people were unhappy.
Possibly.
Didn't stick around with our doggy and kitty abortion point.
Yeah.
You listen to the whole thing, it actually makes quite a bit of sense. How can you be pro-human abortion and anti-doggy and kitty abortion?
Right.
If, like, I don't agree if you're pro-abortion for both. I don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. But at least you're consistent.
Yeah.
I agree with you if you're anti both of them and you're also consistent. But if you're pro one and not the other, you're out of your mind. You could even be technically, I would be better with, hey, you're anti-human abortion but pro-animal abortion. I'm less bothered by that. Mm-hmm. But the Hollywood types that are like, right on, stand with Planned Parenthood. Oh, how dare you abort a kitty or a puppy? You have lost your minds. Mm-hmm. Listen to the whole thing. Go back. Check it out. I think it makes a pretty good point. And if you would, when we post it later at theblaze.com/doc, please share that with others. And Brian Sack could use the HEP as well.
Exactly.
I was serious about doing a lot to support businesses and entrepreneurs and help promote such ideas on my morning radio broadcast. And I have another example of that. Jessica Sanchez joining us now from the 1791 Supply and Company. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Now, 1791 is Glenn Beck's company.
It is.
But Jessica also has her own company. In addition to working with Glenn on merchandise, shirts, hats, and whatever, you also have your own company. What is your own company?
I do. Basically the same thing. Screen printing, embroidery, any type of merchandising, any type of printing.
Okay, so as a side business, so you work with Glenn, and then you also have this
my
business.
My own printing business.
How did you start?
My printing business?
Yeah, with your printing business, yeah. Not with Glenn. We know how that
is. Like, oh, I interviewed about 20 times, and then I got hired.
Yeah, tough interview, yeah.
Yeah, it was a 20, it took about a month and a half to get hired.
Yeah, you interview with Glenn, and he's like, nice to meet you. How's your soul?
Yeah, exactly.
Good, clear, pure. Good. Your own business.
Well, it was something that just kind of, we wanted to screen print T-shirts. We started in the garage, bought like a little machine that we could screen print with.
And thought I can do this, huh?
Yeah, thought we could do it. Let's try it. We didn't do any promotion, any marketing or anything. Everything's been word of mouth for the last 4 years, which is great. At first, my husband was working full time and then just doing everything on the weekends or at night. And then it got to the point where he had to quit his job, and his full time job.
That's always a difficult spot, right? Because you're going, I'm giving up a guaranteed salary, and for even if the company grows still quickly, there's going to be a couple of months of less money.
Yes,
right. You're not going to make it up by the business as soon as he gives it up. So you had to consider that a while, right?
Yeah, we did, but it was one of those that I was working full time. I was here. I was able to support the household for a couple of months while we got everything up and running. And last year, we were able to move into a 3,000 square foot warehouse and have employees, and it's just growing.
What's the name of your business?
Ultimate Tees.
Ultimate
Tees. That's good.
Yeah.
That's kind of a.
Do you see the malaise look come over? And Ultimate Tees. Okay, I like that. Interesting. But so when you got the idea for the screen, I mean, it could have been some other business potentially, right? You weren't like your whole life going, I want a screen printing business. I'm driven. You were more entrepreneurial minded.
And actually, when I was younger, when I was in high school, I wanted to have my own T-shirt business. Like everybody was starting a T-shirt line.
Right.
And for me, I always figured out, well, how can I do it cheaper? Where can I get it cheaper? And that's kind of where just through the years, kind of just still lingered there. Like I wanted to have my own clothing line or my own T-shirt line, but it ended up being we went into production instead.
There are so many people that have ideas, a lot of good ideas, is a side business or they want to do it professionally, exclusively, without another job, and it's that final step of actually doing it. That's the reason we say entrepreneur. It's dreaming, come up with a concept or whatever, but doing. You've got to have that next step.
You have to do it. You have to just take that step to say, okay, if I don't start now, when am I going to start? You can think and dream for years and years and years, but if you don't take that first step or ask those first initial questions to get started, you never will. And always finding, I feel like sometimes people get stuck in the, what if I invest into this business and I don't see my return? Well, guess what? That's the risk that you're going to take.
That's why they call it a leap of faith.
Right?
Yeah, but start small. Start somewhere, maybe go and talk to somebody or work with somebody that's already in that business and learn from them to make sure that it is. That's what
Well, that's one
do.
Of the other things, too. People, they're like, I started a business or I'm going to start one and I just don't know about this thing. Well, listen, most of us don't know how to file business taxes, get a business loan, do all of these ship stuff, whatever. You have to research.
The research.
But the cool thing that I've learned, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you ask people, they'll usually help you. You're like, hey, I don't know how to do this. Can you, you want to do this or whatever, or help online.
Mm-hmm. And we do it all the time in our business. We get a lot of kids that come in that want to start their own clothing line, but then they're like, oh, I want to screen print. So my husband's like, come in, let me show you. And then once you work with me, let's see if it's something that you really want to do, because it's not easy.
It's not easy work. Yeah.
It's not glamorous thinking that, oh, I have my own screen printing business and now I'm going to, make all this money. Come on, let's try
it. Like the restaurant business.
Yeah, or the restaurant business.
People get into the restaurant business. They think it's going to be all grand.
Well, everybody thinks they can do it.
Yeah.
And I think people think, I'm going to start a business and it's not an egotistical, but they'll have something to feel good about. So they say, I'll be able to, you know, dress a certain way, drive a car, I'm the boss, I'll drive in, I'll put my feet up. You know, more of the attitude of what we see in a movie as a boss, where most bosses, most business owners are not that. They're not the Fortune 500 CEO. You're the guy who's working alongside your employee.
You are. Mm-hmm. And if you can't work 40 hours a week and you get irritated by doing that,
40.
Then, I mean, in your regular job, like, don't even think about starting your own business, because that's like a 24-hour day, 7-day a week thing.
Yeah.
Now, you're constantly thinking about it.
One of the good things I've noticed, too, is if you're starting a business and throughout the business life, it's not overwhelming number of problems. You are going to have a couple of pretty big hurdles, though, whatever they are. And they're different to every business. But if you put it in your mind right that, okay, this is one of those hurdles I knew I was going to have, no matter how much I plan, all I have to do is find a way around it, find a solution. And once I'm beyond it, hey, it's clear sailing for a little while. There'll be others, but that's how you have to kind of look at it, right?
Yeah, you have to know that the problems are coming. That's it. They're coming. I mean, even in any business, in any corporation, big businesses have issues and problems every single day that you have to take care of.
I mean, we don't have them around here, though.
Well,
this is one of the gonna save you on
perfect
that one.
Businesses,
right? Exactly. It's the rare, perfect, absolute business.
We're a dysfunctional family around this place.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So, okay, what's your business first of all, and how can people find you before we talk about for Ultimate Tees?
Ultimate Tees. If you ever want to get screen printing done, embroidery, anything for your business, we can help you. UltimateTeesPrintStudio.com.
Okay, UltimateTeesPrintStudio.com. If you add a couple more words, it may be harder for me to find. Just so you know. I'll tweet out a link, though. So at Doc Thompson Show on Twitter. So UltimateTeesPrintStudio.com. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about 1791, because you have something really cool coming up.
Yes.
Not this weekend, but next weekend.
Next weekend, yeah. So the weekend of Father's
Day. Weekend of Father's Day, so 17th and 18th. Okay,
the 17th and 18th.
What's going on?
So last year, you guys know that we had the museum and we opened up our doors and we had people come in, and it was absolutely great. People loved
it. Glenn did in the studio
yes,
here.
Yes, right, in the studio here. And so this year we didn't plan a summer event. So I was like, well, what can we do? How can we get people to come to the studio, hang out with us, meet the staff? Don't bring us food. Sorry, don't bring us anything. You know we cannot accept anything. But come and hang out with us. So I am managing 1791, and so we decided we were going to just have a show and shop. So it's going to be a fun weekend of coming out, seeing all of the 1791 clothes. We have a lot of people that purchase online. We've done really great the last 3 years, but people don't really... haven't had an opportunity to like try on the clothes, actually see it, touch it, feel it before they buy. So this is going to be like one of those rare opportunities that our fans can come out and try on the clothes and really pick and choose what they like from what fits them.
Okay, so you'll have that all there. Mm-hmm. It's in the studio, so you get a chance to see the studio as well.
Yeah, it's free.
Oh, it's free. Oh,
yeah,
even better.
You just come
in. Then I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
But you still got to buy things.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I thought you were modeling, right? The new 1791 thongs?
Apparently you're too good to put the hat on. I put the hat on, and I am wearing the 1791
thong. Oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to put it on. Okay, yeah. I can do that too. Okay, there you go. I do like the hat, but thank you. So it's both Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday we're doing from noon to 6.
Okay.
And then Sunday we'll start a little bit later at 2 o'clock, give people time to go to church, hang out with their dad, maybe bring your dad here afterwards, after lunch. So 2 to 6.
This is a pretty sneaky, because although dads may not care as much about clothes, clothing
line. It's a good way to buy them a gift.
But dad gets to see the studio, which is pretty damn cool.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of cool fun. So you're like, dad, go check out the studio. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Wait till you see the submarine is all I can say.
That's right. The submarine, the robots. It's all crazy. We've been moving them around all week, so it's pretty rough. But awesome. So how do they find out more? Pretty much just show up?
Yeah, just show up here at the studios and we'll just be able to just check in people in. We're also going to have food trucks, music, a coffee bar.
And, of course, Brad modeling the 1791 thongs.
Right. Yeah, so every hour on the hour, we're going to, you know, dim the lights, start the music.
I look best
in the dim
light. And Brad's
going to be modeling.
I look best in the dark.
No, dimmer.
Dimmer.
Take dimmer
all the way.
Dark. Yes, think dark. Okay, so it's Irving, Texas. If you do a Google search or you're on your
Mercury
map,
Studios.
It's Mercury Studios. You'll see it. It's Irving, Texas. You'll see it come up.
Go to our Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
So if you go to the 1791 Facebook page, we have an event on there. Just let us know if you're coming. We kind of want to get a roundabout number of who we think is going to come. I'm hoping like 1,000 people. So y'all hear me? 1,000 people through the weekend.
Okay, good deal.
That's my goal.
She set the standard. Good deal.
But just let us know. Okay. And then, you know, message on there. I'm responding back to everybody's messages. So if you,
you don't have to. So if it's last minute, you can still come. It would be nice just so she has a general idea, you know, to help out, plan or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's both Saturday and Sunday, the 17th and 18th of June, noon to 6 on Saturday, 2 to 6 on Sunday. Mercury Studios in Dallas show up. And again, check out the 1791 Facebook page. Now, I love 1791 and Glenn's history with it. And I always thought it was great until somebody comes up with 1792 Supply Company, which is going to be really
that's one more.
One more than 1792, which is, you know, perfect until somebody comes up with 1793, which is really, really interesting. All right. Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you. Appreciate you
joining us. Doc Thompson for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
You can tweet at the show. Just tweet at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, at The Blaze Brad, and at Cal79. You can also join the program on the phone. It's 888-727-BECK. Before we talk to Jessica from 1791, we were actually talking about Ariana Grande and the professor from the University of Michigan saying Ariana Grande has the better idea, paraphrasing, than Secretary Mattis does. That basically the attack in Manchester, all you need is love. We got to be hugs and kisses, and that's the way forward. And I think there's a fundamental breakdown. But that's somebody, you know, coming from somebody who has been raised in America. Somebody who's, you know, I mean, I've never lived around the world. I mean, I have limited knowledge. Cal, one of our producers, who's part of the Morning Blaze, has lived in other parts of the world. Lived in Dubai for a while and worked on the radio there. Was born in Egypt, immigrated legally to America, and is an American citizen.
Are you sure about the legally part?
I'm going to go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Never seen his papers, though.
I've never seen his papers.
My dad's checkbook will attest to the legality of it. $20,000 for each of us.
Cal, by the way, happens to be Muslim. And I bring that up because this is germane to the conversation when you hear people talking about terrorism in places like Manchester, you're going to have a different perspective, especially when they say it's Islamic terrorism.
Yes. 100%.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. Thank you.
I was
waiting for a question. You just
a different opinion on it. What's your opinion?
My opinion on Manchester? On terrorism?
Welcome to the show, Cal.
He's not listening.
He's not listening.
I am listening, but there was no question to ask.
There was a question.
See, Cal, this was your springboard to give your opinion on Manchester and Ariana Grande and Secretary Mattis. Cal, what does one need to battle terrorism?
No, I thought you meant like on a social level, but obviously Ariana Grande is not, I mean, I don't know if you saw she brokered the peace deal between Palestine and Israel last week.
Little known fact.
I didn't know that. Wow, you know, she's 5,000 years, right?
Obviously, 22-year-old girl is going to do a better job than the current general? No, I don't think so.
They're like, I really like her music. Perhaps been wrong.
No, obviously, yes, you want peace in the world and you want to approach these things with peace. But when it comes to, I think, radicals of any nature, I don't think there's no talking people down because the mindset is completely different. I mean, these people are going into it as, this is the work of God. This is it doesn't matter that I'm killing however innocents. They're all non-believers anyway. There's no innocence there to them, you know. And I'm doing the work of God here. I am martyring myself, which is a much grander and bigger role to them. So it's a completely brainwashed state of mind and ideology. I don't think you can approach that with love. You can't love terrorists away from terrorism.
Right. I mean, okay. So
I mean, there are reformed terrorism. Don't get me wrong. Sure. There are terrorists who have stepped away and come out of it and will speak out against it, but I don't think you can approach this type of mentality on a general level with love.
So there are some people who are just flawed, and some of them are crazy, and some of them have been brainwashed.
I wouldn't say flawed.
Right?
No, I just think their belief system is completely different. You know, it's not a flaw. It's just their core, what they believe in, is in their eyes, they're doing the work of God. You know, so it's not a flaw. It's just that their beliefs are aligned incorrectly.
That's what I meant by flaw. They're wrong. They're wrong about it. I mean, they they see this and think somehow that's right, the right yeah. way forward. But I mean, there's also an argument for, hey, these are people that are raised in extreme poverty and have little education.
I mean, there's again, it doesn't make it right. But yes, when you live your entire life, or from the moment you've been born, not knowing where next meal is going to come, and you want to feed your family, and you're young and uneducated, and you don't know the right from wrong. And again, coming from the culture, like faith is number one. Like your faith, you're brought up into it from the day you're born. It's important. It's the first thing you think about in your life. You know, every decision you make. So they're looking at it as trying to prove their faith, prove their love for God. So when you approach the wrong mentality from that angle, when you tell someone who doesn't know the difference that this is what God wants you to do, that's where they're going to go with it. They don't know anything else.
You know so what's the solution on the grand scale? Obviously, there's some people you got to stand up to that only understand force, but those are the extremist terrorists or the dictators around the world that are oppressing people, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think the approach is education, to be honest. I think the approach is bringing the youth and the poverty levels up, try to get them, you know, try to educate them first and foremost, to know the true meaning of the religion. Because I mean, I'm 38 years old. I was born a Muslim. I was born in a Middle Eastern country, and like just like all these other people, faith is a huge part of my life. I don't want to go kill everybody. I don't want to go kill non-believers. I don't have
everybody.
Anything
did
against,
you catch that? Doesn't want to kill everybody.
I don't want to go. You know, I have nothing against homosexuals or all the things that they believe against that they feel need to be eradicated. Is the exact opposite of what I was born and brought up. And I was brought up the exact same religion, you know. So it's about being taught the correct way and what the true meaning of it is, and education. And
but that's also long-term, too. Education, you're right, long-term, because what you're doing is by educating people, you're empowering them to say, I'm not going to be oppressed by this dirtbag dictator, you know, land grabbing and torturing people in whatever country. Short-term, though, you're going to have to take some of those people out, or at least stand up to terrorists, right? I mean, there's got to be...
Absolutely. No, I mean, I talked to my family in Egypt, and there's no joke over there. It's like any suspects of terrorism. I mean, if there's like a building with terrorist suspect in it, they just bomb the building. There's no court. There's no trial. There's no, you just take them out. You know, any cells are taken out.
Wow. That's at least they're taking it seriously, I guess. You know, and remember, most of the there was another bombing last night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? I mean, just in the last couple nights, it's been almost hundreds of people.
And it's Ramadan still, right? Or is that over?
Yeah. No, it's still Ramadan.
Yeah, Ramadan's still gone.
But that's that just continues, and most of the people that are tortured, murdered, injured, whatever, by the extremist Muslims are other Muslims, not extremist Muslims, right. But other Muslims. And that's something you got to remember. These are still fellow human beings, and. Yeah, they need to at some point be able to stand up for themselves, but, you know, you got to be able to figure that out. All right, Doc Thompson, in the Glenn Beck program, can people listen right now and go, wow, Glenn's gone, and suddenly they got the Muslim in.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
This is
the Glenn Beck program.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. There's a story at theblaze.com that's pretty interesting in that it actually... proves that some of the things that you've claimed that others have said, oh, that's just crazy. What are you saying that for? May actually be true. I can't believe it. It always seemed kind of silly to me. But when we've discussed the issue of gender and changing your gender and gender bathrooms and the fact that there's 180 whatever genders and all of this nonsense.
182.
Yeah, some people say, you're transitioning and you could claim to be this gender and then you could claim to go back and all of this where boys would be able to use that as an excuse to go into girls' restrooms, whatever. Always seemed kind of silly that they would use this and flip-flop back. Story at the Blaze says, yeah, somebody is already flip-flopping back and forth on gender.
Yeah, administrators at a New York high school forcing one student to pick a gender identity and stick with it after she's changed it twice. This, and it gets better. A sophomore student at Valley Stream South High School in Long Island, she was born a female. She told administrators she wanted to identify as a male.
Gotcha.
But the administrators encouraged her to wait until the start of the new semester, given it was so close to the end of the year. They complied, though, with the student's request to begin referring to her with male pronouns.
Okay, so she says, getting towards the end of the year, and she's like,
wait until
I'm a girl, but I identify as a boy. Mm-hmm. And they're like, because when she does that, that means there's certain things the school has to do. They have to accommodate her new gender.
Right.
And it's not just identifying as a boy. It's now your tech. Well, you're still a girl. You have girl parts, but you're identifying as a boy, which means you can't go into. So they have to plan for the restrooms and changing facilities.
Right.
Okay. They said, we'll do that at the end of the year. She said, no, I want to.
Do it right now.
We'll do it now, though. Okay, yeah. Got it. Did it.
So then she chose to remain anonymous. Obviously, she told the Post, the newspaper there, that the teachers and her fellow classmates made the change. She felt comfortable in her new identity. That is until this year when she decided to revert to her biological sex, which is female. And because she said that there was a family member who was about to enter the school that wasn't aware that she was identifying as a male.
No, sorry.
No.
Well, see, now technically she is gender fluid because remember, we've talked about this. There's a cop in the UK, the first cop that is identifying as gender fluid, which
means two IDs.
Right. Can be feels female one day, identifies as male the next. So it goes back and forth. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
See, when I first saw this headline, I thought she was just like, no, I'm a girl now again.
No,
I'm a boy now. She's doing it because she doesn't want outed.
My parents and friends knew, but some of my other relatives, mainly my grandparents, didn't know.
Well, here's the thing right here. I know the whole gay pride thing. Isn't it supposed to be where, like, I'm proud of what I am and identify? Now you have to hide yourself to others?
Well, especially gender. That seems...
Yeah.
Okay, well, when they said there's an adult entering the school, what does that mean? You're going to be a teacher or it means you're going to be showing up more? I don't get what she meant by that. He meant
the guidance counselor complied with the flip-flopping, but there's a condition that the student had to sign a contract barring her from changing her identity again as long as she was a student at Valley Stream South High School.
No, sorry, school. Can't do it.
You cannot do that.
Now, I'm not saying I agree with all the flip-flop. Right. What I'm saying is, if you can have her sign a form now, but you couldn't have him sign a form the first time, that's not consistent.
Yes. This is not going to fly.
In fact, that's a lawsuit. If you live in that community, you better get them in line because you're going to end up paying a whole bunch of your tax dollars to the eventual lawsuit that they're going to have to settle by this. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I don't agree with all the craziness around it, but if you could just simply have somebody sign a contract, you'd do that already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought we just sent kids to school to learn. Not to sign contracts about gender.
Your gender doesn't matter. Go there and learn.
Yeah.
Done. I mean, I get.
You guys are so old.
I know.
That is so yesterday.
I get that people want to feel comfortable going into certain bathrooms, whatever. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. Here's your solution. It's going to cost a little more up front, but once we get beyond it, it's pretty much done. One bathroom, one person, out. Done. Zip. End of it.
Right.
And then you can wear whatever the heck you want. Go by your name.
Yep.
You don't have to have a pronoun. Everybody just gets called whatever your name is.
Bob.
If your name's Bob, your name's Bob. Give it to Bob. Give it to him. No, give it to Bob. That's how we'll run everything. And then we don't have to worry about this stuff. Costs more up front to change all the bathrooms in those facilities. And it's a little bit more than moving forward if you have to build new buildings with additional bathrooms. That's how you handle the bathroom in public places and out. A lot of private businesses have those anyways. That's what I'd do. If I started a brick-and-mortar store tomorrow, absolutely. One bathroom, one person, there's a sink and a toilet in each one, and that's it. That way you don't have to worry about it. And I think that actually benefits people, too, because sometimes you have, you know, two or three guys standing out waiting to go in. Meanwhile, the girls' bathroom's open or vice versa.
That's going to increase lines at the bathroom.
You think it will?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have one person, one bathroom, I mean, obviously you can't have four people in there, so.
Well, no, but you'd have additional bathrooms. You don't have just one stall. If you have three stalls in a bathroom right now, you have three individual bathrooms is what you do. Hence, that's the additional cost.
Well, couldn't you look over the top of stalls, though. That's not comfortable.
Couldn't you also
use... No, they wouldn't be stalls. They'd be full walls.
Full, okay.
If you go in, and I think a lot of Starbucks have them, and sometimes they'll have three... So instead of just a men's and a women's with a sink and a toilet in each one, they'll have three like that, and they're all open. I don't know if Stardust, I've seen some that have them like that. And that actually helps out. So you could calculate, and those are based on calculations. The number of stalls, and Brad does quite a bit of construction, stall building.
Bathroom work. Quite a bit of bathroom work.
Your bathroom work, haven't you?
You weren't supposed to say that on the air, Doc. Thank you.
It's calculated. You go, there's so many people expected to use them. You still use the same formula, but you'll need a little more space to make individual facilities.
And that's the way it is.
Well, yeah, and that comes with an additional. But that's the way to handle this. Why does this have to be a part of it? The reason it has to be a part of the narrative for these people is not because they feel awkward, because you're calling them something. I don't think in most schools people are bullying based on this stuff. In fact, the whole narrative has been, let's not bully and make sure people feel comfortable. It's not that. They are trying for validation. The same gay marriage. It's not about being able to live with somebody and be married to them. It's not about that for them. You can do just about anything and probably everything a married couple can do or could do before gay marriage. You could live with them. You could have sex with them. You could actually give them power of attorney and put them on a lot of legal forms.
Right.
Many businesses even allowed you to put them on your insurance if you claimed they were your significant other civil union type thing. The only difference is you didn't get to say married,
right,
which brings a certain level of validation. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going with I identify as this person. And if you're transgender, it's got to be horrible for you. I don't hate you. I don't think you should be denied. If you want to be you, go be you, fine. But just like gay and so many things we talk about, can you stop requiring so much effort on my part? Because I got my stuff to worry about, too. Just the fact that I'm straight doesn't mean my life is perfect. You're wandering around with this big problem that you've struggled with. You're transgender, you're gay, whatever it is. I get it. But that doesn't mean in my life I don't have that. So I have no problems. I have just as many serious problems as you do. You think that your only big issue in life is this thing you've carried around because it's so troubling to you. The rest of us have issues too. Go and live your life. Do what you want to do. And allow me to live without having to learn whatever the hell your pronouns you want to identify and everything else. And stop getting offended if I didn't learn them.
By the way, there is the non-binary gender.
I still don't understand
now.
This.
The androgynous, the intergender, agender, multiple gender identities such as bigender or pangender, gender fluid, demigender, amalgagender.
That's what I am.
Amalgagender?
Well, I'm amalgagender.
We all knew that about you.
Oh, okay.
So, coming from Puerto Rico,
what is amalgagender? Do you have a definition for that?
They are intersex and identify as intersex, known as amalgagender.
Okay,
and,
what is intersex then?
That's amalgagender.
You'd be great writing for Joe Piscopo's website.
Right, yes.
That's
right. Right. And if you have a culturally specific gender identity, which exists only within their or their ancestors' culture.
Oh, okay. So now you're tying culture into it as well. So yeah. I grew up in a certain area or something. So those of you that grew up in Walla Walla, Washington, you may know men that also...
Walla gender.
You may know men who dress like women but are perfectly straight. They're not transgender. They just like... dresses.
That'd be a cross-dresser.
No, because it's unique to Walla Walla because they, whatever. I don't know, I'm just...
Cross a Walla gender.
Maybe, possibly.
You could be working for these people that are creating the names for these old.
I'm just trying to understand it. That's
you know
all
what it
I'm
is? I think I figure it out. It is, you're all privileged because you guys haven't suffered like we have suffered. What am I again?
Amalgagender.
Amalgagender. You just...
We haven't suffered like you.
Like I've
trust
suffered.
Trust me, we've
like
suffered
that.
Like yeah. you.
Okay.
It's because of you, we've suffered.
It's difficult
around
being
you, that's
near
what
you.
I mean by that. The state of Illinois is now mandating that foster parents in the state, if you want to be a foster parent, you must be LGBTQ affirming.
Meaning that
you have to agree with them.
If you want to be a foster parent,
you have to support them.
You cannot have different opinions on LGBTQ.
Well, there goes probably half of the people that adopt.
Roughly. I would think roughly. I mean, it may be a little more, a little less. It could be more. It could be 80%, more conservative. They say towards at-risk youth. What is at-risk? I thought at-risk meant you were poor, you have violent tendencies, you do a lot of drugs, you're sexually promiscuous, whatever. Does at-risk in this case mean those kids that may identify as LGBTQ?
I think either that or the kids that have been kicked out of their homes for being gay.
Because if they mean, you might be right, but if they mean it as at risk, is it, well, you must be affirming, you must outwardly express that you support the idea and rights and whatever that comes with LGBTQ for kids that identify, you're calling them at risk? That seems like a failure of terminology for people that are very sensitive about stuff. But they say if you're a foster parent and there are at-risk youth, you will no longer be able to express your conservative perspective on anything related to the LGBTQ community. Those kids are not allowed to be exposed to your Hatred? Ideas, but probably hatred, hatred is what they're thinking. We'll get more on that coming up next after a quick break on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So the state of Illinois now mandates that foster parents be LGBTQ affirming. Not tolerant, affirming. Mm-hmm. Not accepting, affirming. And there's a
supportive.
Difference.
Supportive,
encouraging, yeah. Affirming. They must say, I actively support and agree with all of the ideas that surround whatever you claim LGBTQ. Well,
what does that look like? Does that look like I'm there with the pride parade, you know, with my rainbow flag or the support out there, or I'm picking up, you know, gay kids off the streets? What does that look? And is the government making me sign a piece of paper?
That's
and what happens
yeah.
if I'm not affirming? Am I going to go to jail because I one day forgot to affirm?
So you would not be able to say I am a compassionate, loving Christian who disagrees with some of this stuff.
Right.
And I will take you in and support you, not try to keep you down, not try to hurt you. Not yell at you or convert you.
Right.
I cannot do that because that's not affirming right. to what they believe. This was part of the enhanced department procedures that were signed into effect by their director on May 6th. And he went into great detail on what this means. He said that it's the responsibility of them to oversee the placement of some of the state's most vulnerable children. As part of this, he has the new mandates. He said the well-being of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer/questioning children and youth in the department's care, the agency will not tolerate exposing LGBTQ children and youth to staff/providers who are not supportive of children and youth's right to self-determination of sexual gender identity.
Here's the thing with that. I might not support the way of living, but as a Christian, I'm taught to love no matter what.
No.
I'm taught to...
No,
doesn't matter.
Wait, doesn't matter.
What you
doesn't,
mean?
That doesn't matter.
But that's what my belief is of loving no matter what you are.
You have to support that. You have to support that way of thinking.
Now, for people out there, especially people that may be LGBT community, certainly progressive/curious/trans/amalgamated. What was yours?
Yeah, what was mine again?
Amalgagender.
Thank you. That I keep forgetting.
Progressive. And for you, this is about caring. There's a lot of people left to go, you don't understand, these children need help and caring, whatever. I give you that. But as I told you, Christians can still be, and conservatives can still be very caring about this without injuring the children. And I would argue that if you support this nonsense from the state of Illinois, actually hurting them because you're denying how many people to be foster care parents that is actually going to help these children. You're actually taking care away. You're hurting them even more because you're limiting the number of foster parents.
Well, not just that. You don't know what that foster parent, sorry if I dropped the G word, what God has planned with that foster parent, that seed that he puts on that person's heart is going to do for the future.
Right. But you see what I point, though. If you're arguing caring, you're not actually caring for the children.
No, you're not.
What we're talking about actually does care.
I can't believe you guys are spewing this hate speech on me.
All right, you know what? Let's just wrap it up. It's a Friday. If you would, please follow at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, at Cal79, at The Blaze Brad. See you Monday morning on The Blaze Radio Network. More about me, Doc Thompson, by going to theblaze.com/doc. Have yourself a great weekend.
This is The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.